Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. We're just going to pray over the message this morning. How many remember we've been praying for rain? How many saw it rain Thursday? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know it's going to rain in here too?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. After we pray over the message, we have first-time visitors here today and some that are second and third-timers. Would you just shake their hand and let them know that you're glad that they're here this morning? Father, we just thank you for blessing our land with rain. We thank you, Father, that our children have returned to school, and we pray that you will be with them and protect them on the bus and in the hallways. We thank you for the school children that are going to the high school, elementary, to the lower and higher elementary, and all the schools in our county. Pray for all the teachers that this will be a wonderful year. And Lord, most of all, we just thank you for the visitors that are here today and so many new smiling faces that are here represented as first timers. We just pray that they'll feel welcome today and that we'll greet them cordially. We just ask that you also bless the word today and help us to leave here blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Find a couple of people and shake their hand and let them know how glad you are, especially our visitors today. Glad to have you guys. Praise the Lord. Now, how many know everybody's name in this room? Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. There is an insert in the bulletin to follow along, if you'd like to follow along on the screen or in your Bible. Acts, chapter number 16. Acts is a great book. Amen?
Amen.
We follow the progression of Pentecost and the early church and Paul's missionary journeys. It's one of the most dynamic, prolific books, I think, in all of the Word of God, written by a detailed individual by the name of Luke, who was a physician. And I believe, like Revelation, Word of God says, as John writes Revelation, blessed is he who reads it. You'll be blessed to read the book of Acts. And we're just going to take a portion of 16, not read it all because it's very lengthy, but we are going to begin in Acts chapter number 16, and I think we'll start right where I have it printed, right in verse number 16. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." In essence, she was a fortune teller. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God.'" Not only was she a fortune teller, she was pretty much a nag. "Which show, Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that same hour." How many know the church has power?
Yes.
"And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. In fact, they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." Think about that. All they did was really something good. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. This is one of my favorite in all of Scripture, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of the sleep and seeing the prisoner doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And he called for a light. It sprang up, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out, saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And this is what they said: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. What a wonderful story. Paul was either in a revival or a riot. And most of his revivals were not in the church building, but most of his riots were. Think about it. Wherever Paul went, he's stirring something up. Paul and Silas really didn't do anything wrong. They were doing something right, but they paid a penalty for it. How many has ever done something right, and yet it seemed as though you were viewed as doing something that was not correct? Can you imagine this scene? I don't know about you, but I have to kind of kickstart myself to sing and to worship the Lord. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." But can you imagine Paul and Silas, they're hurting, probably bleeding, sore, not feeling very well. Imagine Paul hanging up here and then looking at Silas and going, "Hey, you know, wake up, Si. It's midnight. Feel like singing?" Imagine Silas kind of looking at him like, "Paul, are you crazy?" And at midnight, hanging on this wall, they're singing. They're singing. There's a message right there. In the midst of our trial, in the midst of whatever we're going through, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when they begin to sing and they begin to worship, something happened. It's called revival. Sometimes we think about revival as being emotional. We think about revival as people getting saved. We think about revival as a church growth process. I've been in revivals. You've been in revivals. Some are a day, some are a week, some are longer than that. We've seen revivals in our lifetime. Some of you went down to Brownsville. How many went down there to the Pensacola revival? I did as well. The Toronto Blessing was a revival. Your grandparents were a part of revivals. I really believe the greatest revival is on its way. Yeah. Now, just think about this for a minute. In a dark, lonely, cold, maybe it was hot, I don't know. It certainly didn't have the luxury of what we have today. Some people think it ain't no big deal to go to jail. How many remember Andy Griffith whenever Otis would go to jail? He'd have a cell waiting on him. He'd just go in, lay down, start reading a book, and close the door. It was like home to him. And that's kind of what jails have been today. It's not punishment. It's a motel. So I hear some people in jail go, "Well, I got fed, I got a bed, I got, you know, free air conditioning, I could watch TV once in a while." You know, it wasn't really that bad. I don't think it was that way in Paul's day. I'm not sure the conditions were very conducive to even Motel 6, do you? I think it could have been dark. It could have been very clammy. It could have been very ugly. It could have been very desolate. But in the midst of this jail cell, there's two men together just praising God. Do you know that heaven heard that? Because heaven responded. Now, I thought about this a long time this week in preparing for Sunday morning. How wonderful it is to live in America, drive a car, come to church, worship the Lord, have a good time. You can't have a better time than at Cornerstone Church and Grove. You can't. Think about all the activities up there. Those are just a few of them that are going on. There's much more. We enjoy fellowship with God, but why don't we enjoy the liberties that we have? Why don't we enjoy it more? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking to one guy this week about coming to church this week, and he said, you know, I get up early on Sunday morning, and he said, I can't wait to get there. I just thought, that's the way that it ought to be. Amen. Here's two men by themselves. They're not with the church. They're separated from the church. And there's either a revival or there's a riot. There's something that's going to happen. It's at an unusual time. It's at midnight. Now, I don't know about you, but I very possibly, Mark today hauls me off to jail, I wouldn't feel real good about that. Amen? I had some friends here in the church that came to church one day, and they had some handcuffs, and I didn't know what they were up to, but they said, we're taking you away, and I thought they were really going to put them on me. But they just took me to lunch, not to the pokey. But if he decided to take me off today, I don't think I'd feel good about that. Amen? I got some stories, but I'll stay centered this morning. I believe because of the liberty that we have here this morning, we ought to enjoy that liberty.
Amen.
It's free. Everything that God has is free.
Amen.
And He is just waiting on us to step in out of that, because many people are in their self-proclaimed prison box. Maybe they have this, or they have that, or they have issues. But you know what? The Bible says very clearly to not be entangled in the yoke of bondage. He who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
You're not bound to sin. You're not bound to religion.
Amen.
You're not bound to anything that was of your past life. That's all over with.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if you're free, it's okay to shout. It's okay to dance. It's okay to cry. It's okay to lift your hand. It's okay once in a while to say amen or praise the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
I think sometimes God's just doing a self-check on us to see if we're ticking.
Amen?
Amen? Paul and Silas at midnight were ticking. I'd have been cursing, sleeping, griping, complaining. He said, you're a pastor. I'm a human. I'm a human. I bleed like you bleed. We bleed together. We hurt together. These two guys were worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
You say, so? It was at midnight. They were hurting. Glory to God. Church, we got to praise Him now.
Yes.
We got to get ready, because the people that are coming into this place will be hurting, will be wounded, will be held in captive, and they want to know how to get set free.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. I love this story because it's got so much in it that's so dynamic. Something happened wherever Paul went. There was a revival or there was a riot. Wherever you go, something ought to change in somebody's life. You say, Pastor Mark, how can I make a difference? Pray about it. Maybe the Lord today would speak to your heart to invite your neighbors over and have a Bible study sometime and meet them and exchange ideas. Wouldn't that be powerful?
Amen.
Amen? I know what some of y'all are thinking. Yeah, it'd take an act of Congress to get me to move to that neighbor. But, you know, that might be one idea. This revival was at an unusual time. And there were things that happened, ingredients in this prison revival that were very important, because it was based on praise, and it was based on obedience and faith, and it was based on prayer. Those ingredients are solid to preparing for revival. Sherry talked to you a little bit about Tuesday night and rediscovering church. We want everybody to come on Tuesday night. If you're looking to get involved and committed, that's the place to be, because God wants us all to be active in doing something to invite somebody to a special day. Jim and Pam King will be our guests. I had Jim and Pam King in my churches where I was at for revivals. They're not new to me. Visited with them this week and had them for revival in our first pastorate. How many has ever heard Jim and Pam King before?
Yes.
Wonderful people.
Yes.
And I'll never forget this lady in my church. She just was just going on her simple faith. She went out and started inviting people. She invited one of the guys that she worked with. And this guy came. It's that simple. Yeah, we're going to eat that day, and that's a part of it. But people are just looking for the invitation. That guy came, and he brought with him some of his family, just a few family members that day. And as long as I live, I'll never forget it. Jim King had people come up to the altar, and this guy came, and he got saved. Now, in about 5 minutes after that, Jim laid his hands on him, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Same day. You see, sometimes we make all this stuff too hard. Hey, I got to tell you something. This is a commercial. By the way, I'm fired up today. I've been to Word Explosion in Tulsa, and I'm fired up. My batteries are charged. You know, this guy got saved. Sometimes we have this expectation that nothing is going to happen. Or that it's going to take 10 weeks before we get to a real revival. Or it's going to take 5 weeks until my finances are met. Or it's going to take 6 weeks until I get my healing. You see, we limit what God can do because we put him in a box. He don't like to be in a box. You put him in a box, he'll jump out. Churches put him in a box and he jumps over across town and he starts blessing that church because he'll go where he's welcome. This guy came, he got saved, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he left church just grinning from ear to ear and, you know, smiling. And you know what? The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings.
Right.
This young man went out, and he hit his circle of influence. He got his mom, his dad, his brother, his other brother Daryl. That wasn't his name, but he got his brother-in-law, he got his mother-in-law. He got his child, he got his wife, and all the grandkids and everybody that was connected with him, and about four pews every Sunday morning right there in the back. I asked Kelly a while ago, I said, why are you sitting in the back? He goes, we sit in alphabetical order. But he got them all in the back, and they sat together and they filled four pews. You say, what, Pastor, what's significant about that? Because that happened every Sunday from then on.
Yeah.
Every Sunday. Those pews were filled because this one guy connected with God.
Amen.
Because one lady invited one person that she worked with.
Amen.
Now, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is still being written. Because he became a youth pastor. He became a pastor. He's a pastor today in Ponca City, Oklahoma. And he's doing a wonderful job. But what if that one girl had not obeyed the Holy Spirit that one day on her job? How that dynamic would have changed. I hear this whole family, there's like hundreds of them now because they've all had many children, and I hear from all of them, and it's wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What if you just invite one person? Just one. Do you know even next Sunday, we'll have to look for chairs? You say, well, it's not all about the crowd. I kind of differ with you on that. I think Jesus was about crowds. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, 3,000 people immediately, bam, got saved. There's an immediate church expansion growth problem right there. A good one. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're in the worst of circumstances. And I think sometimes God will put us in these circumstances for a purpose. The Bible says in verse number 25, they were in genuine, authentic, real prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Not just when it's convenient. But we'll pray before we bless the food. We'll pray, you know, maybe before we go to bed. And we kind of just catch God on the go. You know? I'll just pray now. I lay me down to sleep. I've done this dozens of times. I, in fact, asked my dad one time. I said, Dad, we've been in church all day. We went to Sunday morning, went to Sunday night, went to Wednesday night. And now it's time to go to bed. Do we still have to pray? And Dad was like, it's not going to hurt anything, son. You can pray all you want to. Amen? God does not get tired of hearing us call His name. Not just when you get in trouble. In 9/11, all the churches were filled right after 9/11. Why? Because people were scared. What's going to happen next? And now the accelerator's been, you know, a little taken off, and we feel secure, and so people kind of drift back into, well, it's all right. Let me tell you, as the day approaches, as the hour draws near, as James says, draw nigh to me. Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle, a victorious bride. He's coming back for a church that is experiencing power and fruit. He's coming back for a church that is not self-defeating. He's not coming back for a church that is fighting. He's not coming back for a church that's living in a pity party. He's not coming back for a church that is dead or lukewarm. He is coming back for a church that is in the saving grace business of reaching their community for the cause of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David, when he went out there on the battlefield, he went well equipped. I heard sermons on it this week, multiple sermons. Now, he had five stones because one theory was that Goliath had other brothers. Another theory was, you know, he didn't want to miss. If he missed, he had backup. How do you know it didn't really matter to God? God was just looking for availability for a person to be used of God. I think he could have just blown on Goliath and he'd have fallen over. Are you with me? Paul and Silas are in real prayer. They prayed at midnight. Hallelujah. And they prayed in verse 16 before the trouble ever got there. Wow. You know what? A lot of times we just pray these mercy prayers. Lord, I'm in trouble. Please help me. I'm in pain. Please help me. And we reach out and we're desperate. But if we're prayed up, when trouble comes, we're prepared.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And not only that, on the positive end of it, when the people come in, we're also prepared.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. And we don't get caught off guard going, wow, we're prepared for something to happen. I do not believe that God is in the business of planning accidents. I believe He's in the business of pre-planning things for the future. Whatever it might be. How many people do you know that get in trouble because they did not pre-plan? Amen?
Amen.
Well, Junior, I didn't think you were going to college. You didn't talk to me about it. I don't have $40,000 extra dollars laying around. Hello?
Hello.
Well, we pre-plan. Well, Sally, I didn't know you were going to get married. Really? I expected you to live with us until you were 30. No, we pre-plan and prepare. Amen? Hallelujah. How many's ever had your alarm clock go off of a morning and you were late for work and you're like combing your hair and getting dressed and brushing your teeth on the way out and you slept in? Nobody? Ever happened to you? And you're just doing 100 things at one time trying to get, you know? Most of us, we do those things before we walk out the door. Why? Because we want to have good breath and body deodorant and we want our hair to be combed and some of you that takes less time than others, but we want to look good. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We got out of the car this morning and Brayden was like, whew, I feel good. And I said, why are you cool about it? And he goes, well, I'm cooler now. I said, why are you cooler now? He goes, well, I got my hair cut this week. I'm not as hot. But we prepare. We prepare. We don't go into the house of God unprepared.
Amen.
It's amazing how many times people just want to come in and they want fix this, fix that, fix this, fix that. If you're prepared, you're already ready.
Amen.
So whatever God wants to do is icing on the cake.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you won't say amen, I will, because that was good.
Amen.
Preparing. Listen, the church right now, whether you believe this or not, is preparing.
Yes.
We're preparing for translation. We're preparing for a pickup. We're preparing to get out of here. We're preparing to leave. We're preparing to go. We're preparing to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. The Bible says He's coming back for a victorious, blood-washed body. He's not coming back for a puny body. He's coming back for a strong body. He's coming back for a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. A bride that seeing the lost saved. A bride that's seeing the young people called into ministry. A bride that is waiting and yearning for that day. It's not a hope-so. It's not a crapshoot. It's not a maybe. It's not a gamble. You can't find it down there at the local casino. You can find it in the Word of God. It says if you'll trust Him. Hallelujah. Amen. In an hour when you think not. Hallelujah. John 10:10 says, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. The thief only comes to kill, rob, and destroy. I got to pass on something to you. I heard this week without preaching that message, but we sometimes glorify the devil and think he's such a big shot. And I heard this statement made this week and I thought it was a good one. You know, the devil couldn't make it in heaven. He couldn't make it in heaven. And here we are down here struggling to pay bills and to get this and to get that. And he couldn't make it in heaven. So here we are, we're doing this and we're doing that and we struggle through this and we struggle through that, but we're on earth.
Amen.
So when the enemy comes in, you know, we can put our finger in his face and say, look, devil, you couldn't even make it in heaven.
Amen.
Leave me alone. Because here I am, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm trying to get by. And by the grace of God, I am, but I'm victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Leave me alone.
Amen.
Amen. He ain't all powerful. Don't make him out to be a giant. He's not everywhere at the same time. It doesn't say that all of heaven fell, just a part of it. Greater is He that's within you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to give Him a black eye?
Amen.
Glory to God. I want to give Him two black eyes. These two Christians in verse number 25 sang praises and it was in order. It was in order. There wasn't anybody around the corner going, quit that. Paul and Silas, they had the right attitude. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And I love this next sentence on attached to it. The prisoners heard them. That's how loud it was. That's how vocal it was. That's I don't know how spread out that prison was, but they heard them. How many sometimes, you know, you're going along and you're like, praise the Lord, I love you, Jesus, and you're singing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all this, and then, but you know, you don't really want anybody to hear you. Everybody heard them. Everybody. And it affected them. You see, darkness is affected by light.
Yes.
And hope is affected by those that are fearful and afraid. The prisoners heard them, and it got so loud, and it got so earth-changing. It says, then there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And then all the doors were open, and I would have been going, I'm seeing you later, I'm out of here. I ain't hanging out with the rats and the roaches and the ugly stink that I smell here. I'm out of here, bye-bye.
Amen.
No, they said, we're not going anywhere. We're just getting ready for God to move. Amen? That's good. Sometimes when the clock strikes a certain hour, most church people are like, well, I can't wait to get that roast that Sally's got cooking. I just can't wait to get out of here. No, they just sat there. They sat there. They knew something else was going to happen. Amen? The jailer got nervous. And Paul said, don't be afraid. We're all here. Nobody's leaving. Can you imagine? In jail? Nobody's going anywhere. What a question. What an answer. His question. So prolific, so right on. What do I got to do to be saved? Well, what do I have to do? And their answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul cried with a loud voice, don't do anything to yourself. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. And then a light came in, came trembling, and they fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Jailhouse rock. They didn't go through this long ordeal of, well, you got to read the Romans Road, and you got to go to five classes, and you got to be here for four Sundays. No, it was simple formula. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only you, but your household will be saved and born again. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Hallelujah. This was revival. This was change. Sometimes, yes, it's emotional. Sometimes, yes, people are changed. Sometimes, yes, people are filled. Yes, people are set free. But there's always something at the perimeter, the foundation, that is a high calling, and that is to lead people into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wow. They weren't in jail by accident. They didn't land in the pokey just because. They were there to lead a soul to Christ. You're not where you're at, where you're located at, to do nothing. Do you hear me? God has a purpose and a plan where you're located at. Amen? Whether you're on the front pew or on the back pew or in the middle, God's got something for everybody to do. Amen? It's very simple. But my need and my condition and my this and my that, get it off of you. Get it off of you, because it ain't about you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I know I smell flesh burning right now. But it ain't about you. It's about them. Hallelujah. The Bible says all of heaven throws this big, magnificent party when one soul comes to Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I believe with all of my heart it's the will of God for every service for at least a person or two, maybe more, to give their life to Jesus Christ. I believe it's the will of God. Hallelujah. Why? It's in the Bible. Did you get saved? Yes. Then share that with somebody else. Oh, but I can't. I'm not adequate. You're adequate. If you have a testimony, if the Lord has saved you, you can win somebody else and bring them with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Talking to my father-in-law, and I've shared this before, and he just said, you know what? I get up every morning, and I ask the Lord one thing. Lord, lead me today to one person, whoever it is, that I can talk to about Jesus. One person. I have to be honest with you. I need to incorporate that into myself as well. Lord, today, help me to touch one person. Help me to touch one person. I tell you what, if you're obedient to the will of God, you're going to go into heaven with friends. You're going to go into heaven with people beside you on the left and on the right. You're not going to go in as a barren tree. You're going to go in rejoicing with your family members and your loved ones and your neighbors and the people you work with. And you're going to help them rediscover who God is. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you know what? A happy Christian is a purposeful, working believer who is sowing seed, and it'll come back to you. Now, if there's things that you got to get out of the way before you do that, then do that, but it'll only take a second. Amen? God has spiritual medicine. Hallelujah. At midnight, they're singing praises. At midnight, they're worshiping the Lord. At midnight, at the midnight hour, the most unlikely time. I believe today it's the midnight hour. These are two Christians with the right message. We see it in verse 31. The greatest question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the only answer. Sometimes we just need to go like this to people and say, time out. Do you have an active relationship with Christ?
Amen.
Time out. Are you praying every day? Time out. Are you reading the Word every day? Time out. You know, the greatest little photograph that I got last night in my home was watching my 8-year-old son open his Bible, sit in the recliner, and he's not a perfect child, but he had his Bible open. I said, what you doing, bud? He said, I'm getting my verse ready for tomorrow for children's church, before he went to bed.
Praise God.
You know, you can't make your kids do that.
No.
Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a blessing. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we just come before you today and we thank you For John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Lord, today we have multiple challenges before us. We have a world that is in fear of the economy. We have a world that's uncertain about who the next leader will be in America. We have uncertainty across the globe. In Syria, it's tragic. Bloodshed daily. The future is uncertain. And yet we rely upon the Word of God that tells us the future is bright. Because the promises of God are true. And Lord, I believe with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning that there's some that they're living in a prison. It may not be a physical prison of bars and walls, but it's a prison without hope. And really, we just call it bondage. But your word tells us that if we'll come unto you, that you'll come unto us, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I pray that we will be filled with the presence of Almighty God, that we will leave here today rejoicing. We will leave here today with our cup running over. I pray, Father, today that if nothing else, that you will lay a soul upon our hearts. Father, whether it be our neighbors, our children, our grandchildren, our cousins, the people we work with, maybe a very close friend, bring them to our remembrance today. And Lord, your word says if we agree upon it on earth, it'll be agreed upon in heaven. There are families here today, and you're here today, but your family's not here because they're living in turmoil. And there are families that are here today, and your families, they don't even live close to you at all, but you know they're living in turmoil. You have sons and daughters and grandchildren that if the Lord were to come today, they probably would not make the rapture because their life is not what it should be. We just pray for them today. We call them out by name. And Lord, as we prepare to close this service this morning, I pray when life gets tough, when life gets overwhelming, when life is pressing in, when the pressures of life are motivating and moving in, I pray, God, that we'll not give in, we'll not cater, we'll not cower down, but we'll be strong in the Lord. Lord, I believe all across Grove, Oklahoma, as we prepare for Rediscover Church September the 16th, there's going to be a groundswell of revival. A groundswell of revival. Maybe it won't be what we imagined, but there's going to be something that's going to change us. Leaders, local leaders, working parents, and grandparents are going to be changed by the power of the gospel.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.